Hello, and welcome to our NABBW teleseminar for June 21st, 2012. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, Marla Heller, and we will start learning about how we can make the DASH diet work for us. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. For those of you who do not know me, I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com. And we also have a forum at boomerwomenspeak.com. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords baby boomer women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link at the top right-hand side of the NABBW site, which you can use to join. This call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We actually have recordings of over 70, I think it's probably getting closer to 90, past teleseminars, which are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't see the list of the calls on the site unless you're a member, however, because we do keep the calls in the members-only area. But they're certainly there and available, and it's a wonderful resource. Now, as to the format of the call today, let me explain that. Get comfortable and make sure that in addition to having something to drink, because wherever you are, it's probably warm out, and I think it's always good to be hydrated, and then in addition to something to drink, you have paper and pen to take notes, because we're going to be talking about some fascinating information here this evening. As we get started, the phone lines will be muted, and only Marla and I will be able to talk. After that, I will open the lines for questions from the audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, just use the box on your computer screen to type in your question. I'll be able to see those questions, and then I'll be able to relay them to Marla when the time comes. Now, let me give you some background on today's guest, Marla Heller, and then she and I will begin with about 30 minutes of discussion about her book, The DASH Diet Action Plan, which is proven to lower blood pressure and cholesterol without medication, which I think is hugely important. When I look at my blood pressure pills and my vitamins, my stack of vitamins that I take every morning, I think I need to take less pills. So I'm thinking that this is something that to many people besides me would be having a very much benefit from learning about how this plan works. So let's get started. Marla Heller is a registered dietitian with a master's degree in human nutrition and dietetics. Her degrees are from the University of Illinois in Chicago, which I'll refer to after this as UIC, where she also completed doctoral coursework in public health. Marla worked as a dietitian at the University of Illinois Medical Center in the Heart-Lung Transplant Unit, the Cardiac Intensive Care Unit, and the Cardiac Step-Down Unit. She has taught thousands of people how to adopt the DASH diet. She was an adjunct clinical instructor in the Department of Human Nutrition and Dietetics at UIC, Dominican University, and National Lewis University. Marla has taught nutrition to student chefs at the Cooking and Hospitality Institute of Chicago as well. She was a civilian dietitian with the U.S. Navy and worked for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. In addition to writing the DASH Diet Action Plan, Marla wrote the four-week menu plan for Win the Weight Game, by Sarah, the Duchess of York, and I'm sure there must be a fascinating story about how that all worked out, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that, Marla, but the Duchess of York fascinates me, so I was just delighted when I found out you had been working on that book. She's a frequent featured nutrition expert for broadcast, print, and internet media. Additionally, Marla is a spokesperson for the Greater Midwest Affiliate of the American Heart Association, a past president of the Illinois Dietetic Association, from which she was awarded the prestigious Emerging Leader Award. Please help me welcome our guest expert this evening, Marla Heller.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. And you can't hear any of the other people because I have them muted. So
right.
they're happy to hear you too, but they can't talk. So, Marla, before I launch into my questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to tell our listeners what led you to write the DASH Diet Action Plan. And as our audience listens to her answer, I want to have you keep in mind that the book is currently on sale at Barnes & Noble Online and Amazon.com at a 40% discount.
Well, the reason I wrote the DASH Diet Action Plan is because during my master's work, my advisor had been one of the original developers of the plan, and she told us about the research before it was actually published. Then the National Institutes of Health came out with some educational materials, and I tried to use them with my patients, and I found even with a dietitian explaining those materials, no one could understand it. In fact, their eyes would glaze over when I started to talk about it. So I thought, okay, this is a very important diet plan because, as you mentioned, it does help to lower blood pressure without medication. So I felt someone needed to make this really understandable and break it down, make it simple to follow so that anyone could pick this up and figure out how to adopt the DASH diet.
Excellent.
So I felt really driven to create this book.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I went back when we reviewed it for NABBW in April, and I believe I read the book itself in March, and I was just fascinated with the information that was in there, and I liked the fact that there were recipes in there too. So, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So let me begin by asking you a really basic question. DASH is always capitalized, D-A-S-H, so I'm assuming it's an acronym, but why don't we start by saying, what is the DASH diet, and then maybe you can tell us what DASH stands for.
Well, the DASH diet is a diet that is extra rich in fruits and vegetables, along with low-fat and non-fat dairy. It also contains nuts and beans and seeds, along with the other healthy foods like lean meats, fish, poultry, whole grains, heart-healthy fats. But the real key thing is the extra fruits and vegetables and the dairy. The DASH acronym means, it stands for the research that was entitled Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. So it was originally developed to try to help people naturally lower their blood pressure. And the reason that this research was developed is that they noticed that people who were following a vegetarian diet had lower blood pressure than people who weren't following that. So they were trying to find out what were the key elements that would really help people take the advantage of a vegetarian diet, but make it flexible enough so that people in the mainstream would be willing to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they started the research. And they thought, okay, the extra fruits and vegetables are very healthy, and they also knew that diets rich in calcium seemed to be healthy. So they put this whole thing together with all these different components. And when they did the original research, they had three separate groups. One group followed a typical American diet. The next group followed typical American diet plus extra fruits and vegetables. And then the third arm of the study, they followed the extra fruits and vegetables, dairy, along with, you know, the heart-healthy fats, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds, lean meat, fish, poultry. So basically a very, very healthy diet. It was only the third group where they saw the reduction in blood pressure. So just adding the extra fruits and vegetables on top of a typical American diet wasn't enough. They had to go with the entire package. Sorry, I had a little cough here.
Sure.
But that's one of the reasons that I wanted to make sure that people get the whole plan, because a lot of times when people are writing about the DASH diet, they oversimplify it down to just saying, eat a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables. And that wasn't enough. You also had to have the dairy in there and kind of balance everything else off. Now, right off the bat, you're going to say, okay, that sounds really complicated, but that's, again, why I wrote the book, The DASH Diet Action Plan, is to break it down and make people see that this can be very simple.
Okay. Well, who developed it?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I was coughing there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. can you tell us a little bit about who developed the diet?
It was developed by researchers out of four different universities, one of which was Harvard, also Duke, LSU, and out in Seattle. So it was four different groups, and there were a lot of other researchers who were involved on that as well. So it was a big group.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me like we got representatives from many parts of the country, so that fascinates me too. I also am aware from the fact that I have read the book, that, you know, it talks about it on the back cover, that it's rated the number one best diet overall by U.S. News and World Report, which matched it up against all major diets, which I think is just huge information, because it seems like whether we're talking about major diets or minor diets, you can barely turn on like morning television or something without somebody's coming out with some new diet that they want to tell us about. And so to me, if I can say this diet, once I can learn how to master it, and which you do very well explain in the book, that it's, you know, the last diet you'd ever need. So could you tell us a little bit about the U.S. News and World Report, what caused them to call it the best diet, the healthiest diet, and the best diet, I believe, also for diabetes. Is that not correct?
Yes. And it kind of goes along with that whole philosophy that they were trying to pick the best elements out of a vegetarian diet and then make it flexible enough that everybody would be willing to buy in and follow it. So it starts off with being developed from the viewpoint of making people healthier, not just for weight loss. And, in fact, the original studies, they didn't let people lose weight because they just wanted to see the effect of the food plan. They didn't want to have people losing weight because that lowers blood pressure independently. So they just wanted to see the effect of the food plans. Then later on, there were many studies that were done with weight loss and, you know, seeing that you got additional benefits and so forth. So there were so many research studies on DASH that this is something that's never been seen with any other diet plan that's ever been developed. And when they were developing everything, they also did studies where they've looked at people that they've been following for very, very long periods of time, in excess of 20 years. One is the Women's Nurses Health Study that's been going on, you know, with over 60,000 participants, and it's been going on for over 20 years. And then there's a Male Health Professionals, similar numbers of people being followed for extremely long periods of time. And they have been following how they ate and then what happened to them in terms of health. People who were following a plan that was basically the same as the DASH diet, which means there wasn't any DASH diet when they started this, but they were already eating this kind of food pattern, they've had lower rates of heart attack, lower rates of strokes, lower rates of several kinds of cancer, lower rates of kidney stones, fewer, I'm trying to think of all the different things,
okay.
Less rates of heart failure. They are, if they have early stage kidney disease, they're less likely to progress. So DASH is really the only diet plan that has been followed with so many people over such a long period of time, as well as individual studies that were really trying to figure out how this all worked, that it's the most researched diet plan ever. And again, the whole purpose is to improve health. And yes, oh, by the way, it happens to be a really wonderful plan for weight loss as well,
mm-hmm.
because you've got all these foods that are really filling, bulky, but not high in calories, like, for example, the fruits and vegetables. So when you're putting together this plan, you find that you get full without overeating. So it makes it really easy for people to lose weight and not feel like they're on a diet. In fact, one of the first comments I get from a lot of people is that this seems like too much food to be eating, and they can't imagine how they can eat all of this food. Well, when it happens to be healthy, yes, you can eat a lot of food and not overdo. But people find that it's very easy to lose weight, and they find that it's also very easy to stay on track because they aren't feeling deprived. They're not feeling hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You've got the best diet and the healthiest diet. And some of the more recent studies have shown that it's really great for helping to either prevent or reverse type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Well, being a person who there's no diabetes that runs in my family, but I came down diagnosed with it, I think it was about 6 years ago, and I can't tell you, well, you've probably seen it in people that you've worked with. I just was in total shock when my doctor told me that she was sorry to tell me, but I had diabetes, and And she kind of acted like she'd just given me a death sentence. And, that was not something that I appreciated because, well, I was about to go off on a cruise. She told me this about like 4 days I was leaving on a cruise. So I kind of had this feeling like, I don't think there's anything I can eat. I think I'm just going to go on this cruise and I'm going to have to drink water or something like that. It was a very confusing time for me. But thankfully, she did have a dietitian on her staff that she had me meet with. And the dietitian, well, she didn't give me your book, which I think all people that are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes should have access to your book and then access to the, you know, information that's in it. You know, not just they give them the book, but that they train them on what's in it so that they learn that they actually can eat very well and still do a good job of controlling their diabetes. Because I don't know if all people are like I was when they get a diagnosis of type 2, but I keep hearing all the time on the news media that more and more people are being told that they're either pre-diabetic or diabetic, more and more, I think, type 2 than type 1. And
yes, unfortunately, yes.
Clearly we need to help these people to learn how to eat better. So,
and even better is to, if you've got like some of the early warning signs, for example, a lot of times people will have high triglycerides maybe 5 to 10 years before they actually develop type 2 diabetes. And if they say, okay, this is an early warning sign, I can do some things, and this happens to be a really pleasurable way of eating, so it's not something like you're going to feel like you're deprived, what a great way to try to head things off and stay more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really great news that there is something that works, and it's something that's based on foods that you find at your regular grocery store. There's nothing you know, magical about, you know, getting certain types of foods or whatever. It's more the basics. And this is my favorite line is to say, your mother or your grandmother probably said, eat your fruits and vegetables, drink your milk, go outside and play. But that really is still good, sound nutrition advice. So it goes to show you this isn't just some new fad. This is the way people used to eat that we've kind of gotten off track with. And, in fact, if there's one trick that you can take away from this that is the best thing that you can do to try to take your first step is to fill the top half of your plate with non-starchy vegetables. And if you've done that, you're going to get filled up, you're not going to overdo, and you're going to find it really easy to get on track with a DASH diet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, to me, a starchy vegetable would be a potato, but what
right,
other
potatoes
vegetables?
Winter squash is going to be starchier. Corn, technically it's a grain, although we eat it as if it's a vegetable, but you can think about it as being a starchy vegetable. So everything else is basically fair game, like all the summer squash and, you know, tomatoes. It's basically things that are really full of a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at beans like green beans, those are actually, you're eating mostly it's pod. It's not the actual bean, so it's not starchy like the like pinto beans or red beans might be. They're going to be much less starchier. So most of the things we think of as being summer vegetables are all really super for the DASH diet and really, really low calorie. And so this is a really great time to go out and hit your local farmer's market and load up on things. And it doesn't mean you can't have corn just because it's starchy. It just means you don't want to go overboard on that. Maybe stick to one ear of the sweet corn instead of having a whole bunch, and then have some tomatoes, some green beans, have a nice salad with it, some radishes when it's still early in the season and they're not over hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some broccoli, cauliflower, whatever you're finding at your local farmer's market, this is a great time to do it.
All right.
Or grow it yourself. That's another favorite thing. Especially with the tomatoes.
Absolutely. And I'm getting more and more. I don't have a garden at the moment. Where I live right now, there isn't an easy place for me to figure out where to get a garden. But I've had one in the past, and I'm finding myself thinking more and more, you know, I start to worry about these information that I'm hearing, like recently a report came out about all the pesticides that might be on our fruits and vegetables. And so they were talking about, you know, how, what are the better fruits and vegetables to eat in terms of less pesticides. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Anne, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You would grow them yourself and
right.
you know what's on them.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I know I do have my tomato plants growing. And one of the things I found that a lot of towns are starting up community gardens where you can have a certain amount of space. Like it might be on the, at our town, we've got it in the back of the city hall. They've got a community garden where people can take little plots and have their area. I know at one time I lived in downtown Chicago, and I was right across from Lincoln Park, and there was an empty lot next to us, and the local community group got permission to make that into a gardening area. So here I was living right downtown Chicago with a garden plot.
So I grew all kinds
of vegetables, including some sweet corn and lots of tomatoes and summer squash and all kinds of fun things. So that's something I'm really passionate about. You know, people complain that healthy food is too expensive. Obviously, if you're growing your own, you get a lot of return from buying a little plant or even starting the plant from seed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that it's kind of a nationwide movement that's going on. It didn't just start at the White House with Michelle digging up a portion of the land on the White House grounds. This is something that's going on in communities all over the country. So if nothing like that has been started in your area, maybe this would be a thing to think about trying to get them on board for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not too late to plant some things. A lot of things are going to be coming in again as you start getting towards later in August, if you could start planting things like peas and beans again and so forth. So it's always a fun thing to do. Grow your own.
And plus that part where you said about your mom telling you to get outside and play, you know, it gets you outside too. So
exactly.
It not only gives you the opportunity for healthy food that you know what went into creating it, but it also gets you some fresh air and a little bit of sunshine and some exercise. But let's get back to talking about the DASH diet. We've also alluded to the fact that it's an important program for people with blood pressure or heart issues. So let's talk a little bit about why DASH is so good for those people.
One of the reasons that they think that DASH is so effective is because it's extra rich in potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Now, okay, that sounds interesting. And you think, well, then why wouldn't they just give us a supplement with potassium and magnesium and calcium? Well, there have been several studies that have been done to see if they could do just that. And those studies were very much ineffective. So there seems to be something about the food itself that helps. But, yes, it is extra rich in potassium, magnesium, and calcium. And by helping to lower the blood pressure and relax your blood vessels, that really goes a long way to helping to reduce the risk of strokes, which, yes, people who have been following the DASH diet for a long period of time are less likely to have strokes. And it also helps with lowering cholesterol, both from the fact that this is a diet that's naturally very low in saturated fat, which saturated fat is one of the things that our body takes and uses to make cholesterol, as well as the diet is very high in fiber. So if you get cholesterol coming in with the food, the fiber helps to soak it up and cut down how much you actually absorb. So
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of ways that DASH is important. But, yes, it has been proven to dramatically lower the risk of stroke and heart attacks. One study that came out in 2008 showed that women were 40% less likely to have a stroke and 50% less likely to have a heart attack if they were on the DASH diet. So your audience is boomer women, even though we tend to think about heart attacks as being a male disease. Actually, more women have heart disease than men, and more women die every year from heart attacks than men do. It hits us a little bit later in life, but it's still going to be a factor for most of us. So eating in a way that helps to prevent that is a great option. I know at different times when I was counseling people in the hospital, they might be upset if they found out their cholesterol was 300 or higher, and they'd say, oh, my gosh, I'm so horrified by this. And I say, well, at least you found out by a blood test instead of an event. mm-hmm. like having a heart attack. When you find out about it, it's just a number on the you know, in your blood, then you can turn things around and prevent the heart attack, which is certainly a lot more preferable than trying to recoup afterwards. But still, yes, the DASH diet would still be good after you've already had a heart attack or a stroke. But prevention is certainly, that's something we'd all like to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, earlier I alluded to my pile of vitamins and things that I take in the morning. My husband teases me about that I eat my breakfast and then I eat my second breakfast of this little pile of pills. And I'm really under the impression that it would be better for me to be able to control, or me, not just me personally, but all of us, to be able to control high cholesterol and high blood pressure with diet as opposed to with pill-type medication. But since you clearly, I have expertise here being a registered dietitian, could you talk a little bit about your impressions of dietary food, you know, intake of food as a way to control these known causes of heart problems versus taking medications?
Well, first of all, you don't want to stop any medications that your doctor has put you on without consulting with a doctor. So, for example, a lot of people go on the DASH diet and they find their blood pressure is going much lower. So it's something to discuss with your physician. You don't use, we don't want anybody circumventing their doctor's recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, let your doctor know that you're following this. And if your blood pressure, for example, is running low on a normal basis at home, then that would be something that your doctor may say, okay, let's try cutting back on this medication. But take it in consultation with your doctor. Don't try to, you know, self-medicate or self-unmedicate.
Very good point.
But one of the things, DASH, it does help people lower their blood pressure. And very often if you're diagnosed with pre-hypertension, in fact, the first thing that people, the physicians are supposed to recommend is a DASH diet along with home monitoring and so forth. But it's actually in the treatment guidelines that DASH diet is one of the first things that people should do when they're diagnosed either with pre-hypertension or hypertension. It also, if you can't go off medication entirely, the DASH diet will help you respond better to your medications. So I've heard from a lot of people where they were on several kinds of medication and their doctor could not get their blood pressure under control. But when they went on the DASH diet, they were able to get things controlled and cut down on the number of medications that they were following. So that's also a very good thing to know, that it will help you respond better, because you really want to get the blood pressure under control. And, in fact, only half of the people who have high blood pressure have blood pressure that's under control at the proper level. So anything that's going to help that is a good thing. And if they're additive, so much the better. And, yes, hopefully if you can follow the DASH diet for a long time, maybe lose some weight if that's an issue, which it isn't for everybody who has high blood pressure. Not everybody needs to lose weight. But putting everything together, you may be able to go off the medications. And I've also heard people say their doctor recommended DASH, but he said, oh, you'll never be able to follow it. I don't, you know, we've got to put you on a bunch of medication right off the bat. And people said, no, I want to try this. And the doctor said, well, I know you. You're not going to follow it. But then they came back a month later, and they were following it, and everything had fallen into place. Their blood pressure wasn't high anymore. And the doctor was really, really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our goal, is to take DASH from the research arena and make it something that's easy for regular people to follow in their normal, busy, hectic lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've been working on. So, again, with the blood pressure, it's something you work in concert with your physician to see if you could lower your medications or cut down on the number of medications. Same thing with cholesterol. You want to make sure that you have your follow-up with your physician to make sure if DASH is helping you to lower cholesterol, that you don't stop your medication before you've checked with your doctor.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about how common high blood pressure and high cholesterol are in the United States?
Well, the high blood pressure, unfortunately, we've got over 70 million Americans who have been diagnosed with high blood pressure, And then there's another quarter of the population that has prehypertension. So this is, it's off the charts. And in fact, a really shocking thing, there was recently a report from the World Health Organization that said a third of the people all over the world have high blood pressure. So, you know, we're seeing all these, you know, typically developed world kind of diseases that are now going all over the place. That was really shocking. And a lot of times when people, when different economies become more wealthy, the things that they go away from are the fruits and vegetables, and they tend to have more of the junk food and high-fat foods and so forth. So it's not just something that, you know, we're saying, okay, Americans need to do this. Maybe a lot of other people need to do this. And go back to the basics. Think about how your grandparents ate. They probably had lots of vegetables on their plate, not so much of the animal foods.
Mm-hmm.
But which is not to say, you know, that all animal foods are bad or anything like that. And in fact, the dairy seems to be especially important for helping to lower blood pressure as well. It may be the vitamin D, it may be the calcium, it may be both, but they seem to be very, very important. In fact,
okay.
There was just a study that was published that I read about today that was done in Hawaii, which if you're thinking about it, they've got so much sunshine, you would think that people would naturally have high vitamin D levels, you know, from all the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But they found that people who had a lower intake of dietary vitamin D, which is primarily from dairy, were much more were twice as likely to have strokes as people who had higher intake of dietary vitamin D. So that's something that says, yeah, this is something that we need to pay attention to, even if you're getting a lot of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're making me think of that. I'm going to deviate from my list of questions here to say you're making me think of that commercial that I see in the morning on the Today Show where the boys are calling their mom who's at work and they're saying, we're dying here. And she tells them to make pizza rolls. I won't say a brand name, but she tells them to go into the freezer case and, you know, get out these pizza rolls. And then they're all happy. And I'm thinking that that totally would not be something that I think a dietitian would say, oh, go make some pizza rolls to the kids. Mm-hmm. So
well, if they wanted to have something like if they're trying to make a breakfast food, if you had a whole wheat English muffin, put some reduced fat cheese on that with a little bit of pizza sauce on it, and maybe throw a little couple of vegetables on there.
Mm-hmm.
That could make a nice, really interesting pizza thing without a lot of effort and be really healthy and fit in with a DASH diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or my favorite breakfast is just old-fashioned cereal with some berries on top and some skim milk and have some orange juice with that, and you've got a DASH diet breakfast right off the bat. So it doesn't have to be extremely complicated to follow the DASH diet. If
mm-hmm.
it were, no one would be able to follow it. So that's again, that was one of the objectives that I had from writing the DASH Diet Action Plan, is to make it easy for people to follow in a real life.
Excellent. That's a very good point. Now, you said that when they first worked with the DASH diet, they didn't really want people to lose weight. They simply wanted to see the effects of the diet
on blood pressure.
But
right.
Would you say that it's a good diet for weight loss, or is it more just
yes,
a diet for health?
Yes, it really, it's a wonderful diet for weight loss, again, because you're filling up on all these bulky filling foods like the fruits and vegetables that are relatively low in calories for what you're eating, for the volume of food that you're eating. So it makes it really easy to stay on track. And I know one of the things people say, you know, they do a lot of mindless eating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have in your refrigerator, whether it's at home or, you know, work for those, you know, the 2:30 cravings that come in, if you have some yogurt and some a piece of fruit in the refrigerator, maybe a nice nectarine or plum at this time of the year, you can go get that, and you've got a quick snack that is super filling. You're not going to be hungry before dinner. It's really going to satisfy that urge for something to eat, and it's healthy, and you're adding some extra DASH servings of these foods.
Mm-hmm.
So it really becomes very, very easy to follow. One of the things I do encourage people to do is to do planning. So when you go to the store, stock up on all of these, the foods that are the right foods, because if you don't have the right foods on hand, then you're going to end up hitting the vending machines at work, or you're going to get into your kids' stash of junk food or something like that. So it's good to have things on hand. And actually, that's a big secret that a lot of times I would tell people to make a plate of raw cut-up vegetables and put it in your refrigerator. And then the moms would come back and they'd say, this isn't working out at all because my kids keep eating it. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing because it just goes to show you that if you have healthy foods there, the kids will eat it. A lot of times I find the moms are buying the candies and the junk food for their kids, but then they end up eating it. And that was just an excuse for them to buy it. But if you put out the healthy foods, the kids are going to eat it as well. So, yeah, absolutely stocking up your refrigerator with really healthy foods like the non-fat, low-calorie yogurts, fresh fruits, some cut-up vegetables. All of those are great things, and they make it super easy to stay on track.
Now, in my family, my mother is not a dietitian, but she's a her degree is in home economics and foods and nutrition. So she knew and she taught foods and nutrition at high school and vocational school level. So she's not coming. When I was growing up, the education that she was giving me about good food was not coming from the point of view of a dietitian speaking to me, but as someone who was, you know, had training in foods and nutrition and also in the economy of buying food. And she would always tell me that, you know, it costs more to buy the food, you know, the already chopped up carrots or the already the cut up prepared salad types of things. You know, she would always tell me that takes too much money. You know, it's cheaper to buy the food and prepare it yourself. So I'm thinking, based on what you said, that you would probably say either way works, but if you're trying to be economical, then buy the food and then set aside a time that you chop it all up and put it in your refrigerator so it's easy to get to when it's time to have a snack or a meal. Is that, am I reading you correctly on that?
Absolutely. And actually, I'm just going to throw out a tip that I have been working with a chef recently who said if more people had good knife skills, knowing how to cut things up really fast, then he thinks more people would be eating healthfully at home, because people get off track when they think they have to cut all these things up, and then their preparation time is really, really long. And he suggested going on, like, YouTube and looking for demonstrations on how to efficiently cut up fruits and vegetables in order to get some tips and make it easier and faster. Now, having said that, I will say if people are busy and they're working and so forth, sometimes it's going to be a lot easier to get the pre-grated carrots and the already cut up salads and so forth. Or maybe you're even going to go to the salad bar. For example, if you need a couple of slices of cantaloupe or something, maybe that's a more cost-effective way to get it than to buy the whole cantaloupe if nobody else in your family is going to eat it, and it might go bad before you're ready to consume it. So sometimes the salad bar can be good, especially if you're only cooking for one or two and you need to have smaller portions. Plus, you also don't have any waste when you're buying the pre-cut up things, so that can be a little bit of a savings. But the point is well taken that a lot of times people think, oh, it's very expensive to eat healthfully. Just look at the difference between the cost of a pound of potato chips versus a pound of potatoes. The pound of potato chips are probably going to be around $4, and a pound of potatoes, I don't know, maybe 50 cents or something. I mean, it's really a lot less expensive to buy things that aren't overprocessed. So where people do need it, like, for example, even frozen vegetables without sauce can be a really great way to get vegetables that are picked at peak freshness and they're already prepared, so you can throw it in the microwave or, you know, steam it or whatever and have your vegetables ready to go. whatever makes it easy for you to put a healthy meal on the table is a good thing. Still with respecting your budget, that can be a good thing, too. That's where I still like vegetable gardens.
It's a way
to get a lot of things over the summer that you can be eating fresh and really cut your costs down dramatically.
Maybe this is a time that we should talk a little bit about the difference between the various ways that we could consume a fruit or a vegetable, you know, whether it's fresh, whether it's canned, whether it's frozen, whether it's organic. There's a different price point probably for each of those, and some of them are probably processed in such a way that they're adding juice that might have a lot of sugar in or something like that. So perhaps it would be a good time right now to have you talk a little bit about when we're talking about expensive versus and time-consuming versus, you know, eating healthy. Do you have any tips for people on that?
Well, getting fresh vegetables can be a very inexpensive way to do things, and you can very often find that if you're using the store brands, it's going to be as inexpensive as canned vegetables would be. When it comes to canned, we would prefer to have no added salt. And there's another situation where if you're buying generic or the store brand with no added salt, it's going to be less expensive than the brand names would be. So that can be a really important thing because a lot of people do like canned vegetables, but you don't need all of that salt, which brings up another interesting point. A lot of people think that DASH refers to Mrs. Dash, and we'll go back and repeat that. DASH stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. In the original study, the level of sodium in the diet was up over 3,000 milligrams per day, which is higher than today's RDA, but they didn't have an RDA for it at that time. So they found that DASH worked even with what we would consider a moderately elevated level of sodium in the diet. Yes, you can have some additional benefits from lowering sodium, but the DASH diet seems to be protective, and if you have one or two bad meals, if you're generally following the DASH diet, it's going to keep the blood pressure still on an even keel. So that's also a good thing to know about that. But in general, you'd rather not be adding a lot of sodium from processed foods. Actually, do you know what is the number one source of sodium in the typical American diet right now? Bread.
Bread. No, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, it comes in with, it helps the yeast to work better. So bread is the number one source of sodium in the diet. Potato chips are down at number 10 in that list.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things also come in from deli meats because they're often cured and there's a lot of sodium in that. So that can be something where if people are like cooking a whole chicken at home, if you can cut things up, you know, to make sandwiches from that, that can be a much healthier way to do that. Or even cooking a turkey and then cutting things up to have for sandwich meat, that's going to be a healthier way of doing things. Or making a pot roast and then slicing the beef up after that. Then you don't have all of that extra sodium that comes in the deli meat counter, which is the number two source. So it sounds like sandwiches are something we have to watch out for in terms of making a little bit better choices.
I was diagnosed with a preeclamptic toxemia back 35 years ago with my first pregnancy, and so I had to learn at that time what the things were in the processed foods that we eat on a daily basis that have salt in, and I was just shocked to find where all the hidden salt was, which is why I hesitated when you asked me what is the thing with the most salt in, because I was many things that have salt hiding in.
Yeah, well, and that's true. Things that are processed in general are going to have more salt in them, which is another way that DASH makes it much, much easier to follow a reduced sodium diet because you don't have all these processed food. Yes, you have bread. Actually, one of my tricks that I'm doing is, as you know, baby boomer women, you know, as we get older, we can't burn as much of the calories as we were younger, so I'm trying to do lighter bread. So now I do the bread that's 45 calories a slice, so you can have two slices, and you're basically the equivalent of one slice of regular bread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way you're automatically you're going to cut your salt in half that way. So you've still got two slices of bread, but you don't have the calories, you don't have the salt. So that makes it really easy to cut back on that. And then trying to watch out for other things, then you can still have your bread and not have to feel like you're totally deprived.
Right. Absolutely good tip there. What would you say would be the top tip that you would give someone who was trying to get started on the DASH diet?
Fill the top half of your plate with vegetables. That really, if you've got half your plate filled with vegetables, you're going to get full before you can overeat. If you also happen to have a salad with that and a piece of fruit, have a glass of milk, then have your lean meats and a smaller portion of the starchy food,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find that you are absolutely stuffed and you can't overeat. In fact, I know one guy wrote to me and said, I can't eat all of the food that you have in the breakfast, so he saved some for a morning snack. So this is a guy who's presumably, you know, men tend to have bigger appetites than women.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's finding it too much food to eat, and he's losing weight, and he's becoming more healthy at the same time. So all of that is a very good thing.
Absolutely.
Make it easy for people
mm-hmm.
and make them healthier at the same time. And that actually, that brings up another interesting point. A lot of times people, when I tell them, you know, I wrote this book about the DASH diet, it helps people lower their blood pressure, then they tell me about some new weird fad diet that they're on. And a lot of times people have the idea, oh, as long as I'm losing weight, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a lot of diets out there that don't have any goal at all of making you healthier. So it's really, really nice to have a plan that in addition to making it easy to lose weight, it's going to make you healthier at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to keep, you know, adding years onto the clock, but we want to be healthy and vital for our entire lives. So
mm-hmm.
if something can help you avoid getting a stroke, having a heart attack, say with reducing some types of cancers, keeping your kidneys a little bit healthier, those are all good things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Stay healthy for a long, long time.
And that is so important. Well, your book contains, as I mentioned, that when I first started talking a little bit about the book, I said that there are recipes in the book, and there's certainly an excellent section that you have there toward the end, the DASH Kitchen Makeover, that I think is important for people that are, you know, you're telling them about things like having a blender, a countertop grill, those types of things that make preparing these good foods much more convenient. But I'm curious, since the information that you sent me about your background, you talked about this 4-week menu for Sarah, the Duchess of York, for her book, Win the Weight Game. Does that book contain menus that follow the DASH diet?
Yeah, they're very similar to that. And that was written many years before I even found out about the DASH diet. But yeah, we're going back to the basics, the fundamentals of what is healthy nutrition. And that book was written for Weight Watchers Publishing, and Weight Watchers does encourage people to have more fruits and vegetables, to have their dairy, to have lean meats and heart-healthy fats and so forth. So this is absolutely compatible even with somebody who's following Weight Watchers as well.
Mm-hmm.
The DASH diet has really become the model for every healthy eating plan nowadays. It's recommended in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. It's recommended by the Heart Association. The Mayo Clinic recommends it. I mean, it's people who, for physicians, if they have patients who are diagnosed with high blood pressure, it's in their list of things that they're supposed to do at the first visit is to let people know about the DASH diet. So it really has become the model for everything. And, yes, even going back to working on the book for the Duchess of York, that was one of the key things is to have the balance and have plenty of, you know, all the vitamins and minerals which are going to come in from the healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that was a fun thing to be working on, and it gave me the it helped to educate me about the importance of having a model food plan. And mm-hmm. in the 28 days of meal plans that I put together for the DASH Diet Action Plan, I was also trying to follow those guidelines that were instilled in me when I was putting together the book for the Duchess of York, is to have things that are balanced, to have little mini recipes in there to make it something that's going to be filling and it's going to look interesting on the plate, but to really give people a model so that they could find a bunch of different ways to put the DASH diet together. People aren't going to necessarily like every single day, but you can say, okay, I like cereal at breakfast and having some fruit on that. Maybe I don't like tuna fish, but I can have this other kind of sandwich and it'll still be something that's fast, or I can have a salad with a grilled chicken on it or something, and I can put together this meal at night. And now I understand how it works. Mm-hmm. When you can see many, many different ways to put the plan together, it becomes something that you realize you can do, and you will enjoy it, and it will meet your tastes and preferences.
Oh, that's really important. I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open the line so all of our listeners can ask you questions, and certainly I hope that those of you that are been patiently waiting here will not hesitate to ask Marla any questions that you might have. So who's out there who would like to be first? Oh, don't be shy. I guess
okay.
I'll...
Oh, did you yeah. open up the lines yet?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
They're open.
Okay.
So go ahead. We can hear you.
I have a question.
All right.
My husband and I have your book, and we've been following it and really enjoy it. I wondered if there's an app yet for tracking your portions.
There is not, but what I recommend that people do that is free and online, and I'm just looking for it right now on my computer, the USDA has a website for my pyramid. No, wait, now it's not the pyramid anymore. It's my plate. And they have something called Super Tracker. And just let me, I'm going to type that in and see if I can get it to come up here quickly. And you can use that to track your food and your exercise and see how you're doing on things. And it's called, let's see, I've got the webpage here. It's at choosemyplate.gov/supertracker. So if you get lost for that, you can always go to the choosemyplate.gov, and that will link you into Supertracker. But that's free, and it really is very, very helpful. And I used to use its predecessor program when I was working with people at the Navy hospital, working with active duty people to help them track what they were eating, their physical activity, and really seeing how everything was going along. And it has a place where it will allow you to put in your favorite foods and everything, so then it makes it simpler after the first time you go through. Like, for example, if you're having Wheaties cereal every day and skim milk, you can put that in your favorites, and then you can call it up very, very quickly. But I recommend that, and I've had some people say that absolutely made the difference, and it made it really easy for them to follow and stay on track. So a free option.
Can't beat that. Who else has a question? And thank you. I think that was Wanda, right?
And thank you.
Yes. Who else has a question? Well, while our other people are thinking about their questions, Marla, why don't we talk about what would be an example of a typical day's menu?
Well, let's start with my favorite. I'm a cereal girl, so I like to start out with Wheaties and raspberries with my skim milk and a 4-ounce serving of orange juice. then go into a lunch, which might be a sandwich with like turkey and Swiss cheese, which actually Swiss cheese is a really great choice because it's very, very low in sodium. Cheddar happens to be very, very high in sodium, about 500 milligrams for the same slice that would have, I think it's around 30 milligrams in Swiss cheese.
Wow,
so that can be a really wonderful choice. Then pair that up with, you could have some coleslaw with that, maybe have some baby carrots. At this time of the year, I might have some sliced up tomatoes. I actually, my tomato plant that has the super sweet tomatoes is starting to ripen already. So I'm very excited about that. Even though I'm in northern Illinois, it's already ripening. Then for a mid-afternoon snack, I might have a light yogurt and some nuts, maybe some cashews.
Mm-hmm.
And then at dinner time, let's say you're having a chicken breast. With that, I might have some green beans, a salad, and you could even throw some extra berries on that salad if you wanted to. Then have some small red potatoes, some of the new red potatoes, which is a fun thing to do at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And for dessert, you might have some sliced up peaches and on some frozen yogurt or something. So everything is are foods that are really simple to put together. Yes, you can make it more interesting and complicated and all of that, but it's always good to know that you can go back to the basics and put together a meal plan for the DASH diet.
Yes, that sounds great. And it does sound like you, as you said at the beginning, when you said that sometimes when you've been counseling people in your role as a dietitian, they're saying, but that sounds like an awful lot of food. I mean, nobody would think that that meal that you just or that day's worth of food sounds like a starvation diet in any way. That sounds like wonderful.
Right. And I find that a lot of people, they keep saying, do you mean real coleslaw? Yes, real coleslaw with real mayonnaise in there. It's really a good thing. First of all, cabbage is from the family, you know, all that whole cabbage family is full of all kinds of plant nutrients that help to protect you against cancer. So that's a really good thing. But it's filling. And
mm-hmm.
if you have meals that are ultra low fat, it isn't going to seem as filling. Plus, fat actually helps you with absorbing some of the fat-soluble nutrients, like
mm-hmm.
the retinols, carotenoids. A lot of the things that make color in plants are actually antioxidants. And if they're fat-soluble, if you have a little salad dressing on your food, including like a coleslaw with mayonnaise in it, you're going to absorb more of those nutrients, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be about deprivation and leaving your favorite foods behind.
Very good. Now, I think you mentioned yogurt in there, but you might have only mentioned frozen yogurt. I'm not sure, but I think you might have talked about yogurt
earlier
in the day. And yogurt is one of my favorite things. I eat cold cereal with yogurt instead of cold cereal with milk, but I'm curious if you have any thoughts for people on the difference between the zero-fat yogurt. I'm into the organic yogurt that doesn't have all the sugars. Well, the sugar is okay, I suppose, but there's some really odd things that are in some of those yogurts I find in the store. So I'm going for the organic yogurts. But I've noticed that those come in zero fat and then low fat and then full fat. So I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to stay away from the full fat kind of yogurt, but do you have any thoughts about the different types of yogurts that are out there?
Well, when it comes to both milk and yogurt, I tend to want to have the non-fat because I also like cheese. And the fat in cheese, along with milk and yogurt, is butter fat, and
mm-hmm.
it is high in saturated fat. So, and I don't like non-fat cheese. I've had maybe two or three patients during the entire time that I've been counseling people who said they actually like non-fat cheese. So it's kind of rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming people are going to want to have either a regular cheese if you're eating out or at home. I tend to encourage the 2% cheese. So if you're going to have some cheese that's going to give you that butter fat, better to keep your yogurt and milk fat free.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard another weird question about that recently where someone said, well, isn't it unnatural to take, you know, to go through all the processing on milk and take the fat out? Wouldn't it be more natural to have an almond milk? And I'm thinking, okay, what part of the almond tree makes milk? So that was much more processed to have an almond milk than it would be to have skim milk, which, you know, certainly for thousands of years, people have been separating out the butterfat from milk. So that's not really a very new or highly processed kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not to say if people need to avoid dairy products, you know, if they have an allergy or something, then things like soy milk or almond milk or rice milk can all be really good choices, as long as you make sure you're getting the same amount of calcium and vitamin D that you would get from their dairy counterparts. But in general, I tend to encourage people to have the non-fat milk and yogurt.
Okay. Who else?
That just leaves room, it gives you more flexibility, leaves you room for a little bit of cheese.
Right, and I like, I'm originally from Wisconsin, so my husband thinks I'm a cheesehead. So he thinks he thinks I can't get through a day without cheese. So
I
have
do
on
myself,
occasion. But,
so.
Yes. Who else has a question? All right. Well, I've got one more question, and I'm looking at the clock here, and realizing that we are at the top of the hour, so I think I'm going to give us a little bit of extra time here to ask my question, and then we'll probably wrap things up, unless anybody else has questions. I don't want to cut you off without having everybody have a chance to get their questions answered. But I'd like to ask you about, are there any hidden benefits that you've found to the DASH diet?
Well, the things that they are finding out about reducing the risk of certain types of cancers, I think that that's very, very exciting. They just recently, there was a study that was published that showed that people who have early stage kidney disease, having the DASH diet slowed down that progress. It wasn't going any further with a DASH diet, being less likely to have kidney stones, reduced risk of developing diabetes, reduced risk of heart disease, stroke, colon cancer. All of those things are good.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. Hello?
I'm still here.
Are we still here?
Yes.
Okay. They developed the diet to help lower blood pressure, and they found all these additional benefits. So I think that that's really a wonderful thing. So I'm very excited to, you know, to have a plan that can help people lower weight and be much healthier at the same time.
I think that's wonderful, and especially since it's you know, not only lowering blood pressure and cholesterol, but you've talked about the benefits for people who are diabetic or pre-diabetic, because it just seems to me that from all the news that I'm hearing in the last month or a year, or not one month, I meant like 6 months to a year, it seems like diabetes is just becoming almost an epidemic. So I really think that people need to eat carefully to try to prevent diabetes if they don't have it, and keep it under control if they do. So this to me sounds like a perfect diet to handle that too. So I'm glad that that Wanda, who asked the question, is a person who has your book. It is a wonderful book, and I want to remind people that if you are listening and you don't yet have the book, as of the time of this call, it is on sale at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. I think that it's 40% off.
And online, yeah. Barnes & Noble, you only get the discounted price when you buy online. The store prices are very often different.
Okay.
So that's the best price is either online at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Okay.
For the DASH Diet Action Plan.
And it's also, the DASH Diet Action Plan is also available in a Kindle format in case you are a person that has gotten so gung-ho about what you're hearing tonight on this call that you're saying, I want to have this book now. You know, that's a wonderful thing. You can go download it and have it available for you immediately. That one I don't think is on that sale, but it's still a wonderful opportunity that you've made it available in Kindle format, and I want people to be sure and know about that.
Along with book format and iTunes as well. So
okay.
So all the formats.
All the formats.
And there's an Audible edition as well for people who would rather listen to it like while they're going for a walk or something.
Very good. Very good. And thank you for pointing that out. I also want to say that if you want to learn more about Marla, there's a number of ways that, you can contact her. Marla's website is http://dashdiet.org, and that's spelled exactly like it sounds, dashdiet.org. Marla has a Facebook page, and that's at facebook.com/dashdiet, and you're even on Twitter at dash diet. Is there any other way that you would like people to be able to find out more about your book or your work?
Those should be good ways, and even on the website, there is a place where people can contact me and get answers directly, although we also like to get questions on the Facebook page because then other people are very often interested in the same question, so when I answer it, it helps a whole lot of people. So
right.
That's always nice to share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I will say one more time, is there anyone listening who has a question? Don't be shy. This is going to be your last chance to ask a question on this call this evening. Otherwise, you can contact Marla through those ways that we just discussed. All right. Well, if there are no other questions, I want to say, Marla, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for being my guest and for the great discussion on how we can enjoy a more healthy and longer life simply by learning how to eat properly, and that you've made it so clear to us that it's very easy to learn how to do that. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Anne. It was a pleasure to be here with you and your guests.
Oh, it was a delight for me, too. Thank you very much, Marla, and good night. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.